Welcome to the Simple Church Podcast, where we're committed to helping you know God, find freedom, discover your purpose, and make a difference. Let's get to today's message.
Good morning, Simple Church. How are y'all doing today? I am not Pastor Aaron. I'm Pastor Adam. I pastor just down the road out at the east end of Pickerington at Family Church, and we are one of the other churches started by C3 Church, and if that's a lot of churches, then you're fine. But anyways, it is so good to be with you. I got to preach here last year, and apparently I must have done something right because I got asked back, so that always is an honor. And speaking of honor, I just want you to know how good of a pastor you have at this church and how good of a leadership team you have at this church. And so wherever they're at, can we send some love out to Pastor Aaron, Shanda, Kyle, Derek, and my goodness, they're just amazing people. The level of excellence that happens here, and the most importantly, the heart for seeing people find Jesus and then be transformed by Jesus is unmatched. And so you guys are just doing a great, great job. And so a little bit about me. I've got a Godfather type picture here for you. Let's see. There it is. So my middle child is Hope Ann in the middle in the beautiful wedding dress. She got married back in October. And so this is just about everybody. My youngest is on the far right there. He's 19 and getting ready to graduate high school. That's my beautiful wife on the other side of me. And then these two little guys over here have my heart. That's Liam and Mateo. And then we had one more added since this picture in December. Come on. That's Ollie, y'all. That's Oliver. And his middle name is Ignacio. Both my sons are Latino or Latino mixed. And my son-in-law Jaime named him his middle name Ignacio just so he could call him Nacho. And so that is how my family does things. And so baby Nacho entered the world. And so we have full hearts, and I'm called Poppy, and I just love it. I love it. I love it. Want to open up with a big question today. Have you ever heard God speak to you? Have you ever heard God speak to you? Let me tell you a story. This happened not too far from here. I grew up in a house right near Asbury Elementary, Groveport kid, and this was my Aldi's as a kid, and so this is like coming home. And so I know you hear that joke, but it's true. This was our Aldi. I have many, many hours in this store. And so love what you guys have done with the place. But we grew up right down there in the Hamilton, Nobixby area, so Groveport direction. And we were financially challenged. That's a nice way to say poor. And so our refrigerator went out, and you're poor because people that got money can just go right away and buy another refrigerator. And thankfully it was winter, and it was one of those snows that we haven't had in a long time where there was actually like snow sticking around. And so I can remember on our back deck, we were sitting the milk and stuff in the snow and just waiting until dad's payday or whatever. And then we were going to go find a refrigerator. So fast forward, and I'm going into this appliance store that sold mostly used appliances, and it was right there on Hamilton Road, and I think it's been in business off and on forever. And I was there with my mom. I was about 10 years old. She'd picked out a fridge. It was fine. We were getting it used. Great. I think it was a few $100. Great. And we were making the deal, setting up the delivery, 10 years old, and I went and kind of tapped on my mom. I said, "Mom." She goes, "What is it?" I said, "I don't feel like we're supposed to buy this refrigerator. I'm 10 years old. What would I care, right? Mom, we needed a refrigerator. We're finally buying a refrigerator. Like, this was an exciting day, like a new refrigerator. Mom, I don't feel like we're supposed to." "What do you mean, baby?" "Mom, I just can't shake it. I just don't feel right. I don't feel like we're supposed to buy this refrigerator." She stops and looks at me. And thankfully, I grew up with parents that believe that we can hear God. She said, "Okay." I said, "I can't shake it." She goes, "We're just going to believe that this is the Lord, and we're going to sit on this then." 10 years old, telling their mom, right? we walked out. The poor salesman, like, he thought he was about ready to get a little $20 commission here. Like, he was bummed. And he's like, what's going on? I thought we had it. She goes, we just don't feel like we're supposed to buy it today. We go home. This is pre-Facebook. Like, you actually had to wait to hear from people, okay? It wasn't like you could just put up something like, need a fridge, and, you know, the word would get out. We go home, and I'm not kidding you. That night, a friend connected to our church says, we hear you need a refrigerator. We just bought one. We changed whatever. We've got one that works great. We'd love to bring it to you if you still need it. And my mom said, thank you, Jesus. Right? God speaks. You guys are in a series called Step by Step. And I'm stealing this series. This is so good because I checked it out. And it's by the book Pastor Aaron's getting this from is by a man named Jimmy Evans, who I just think is a great, great writer, great preacher. And I just love what you guys are going through. So these are fundamental steps basically to learn how to follow Jesus. These are practical steps that need to be a part of what you move through if in your spiritual journey if you want to basically have a healthy relationship with Jesus. And be able to connect to Father God. And so you guys have been moving through these. Number one begins with what? Making Jesus Lord of your life, right? That's the entry point. That's the starting point. That's what your church exists to help people find, is a relationship with God. And so number two, what's the first thing Jesus asks you to do after you make him Lord? Baptism. What, you guys got baptisms coming up, right? Come on. Somebody needs to be going in that water next week, right? And that's that next step of saying, I belong to Jesus. Jesus is Lord of my life. That's the first thing he asks you to do. People say, why should I be baptized? Well, did you just say Jesus is Lord of your life and you're going to follow him? You should probably do the first thing he tells you to do, right? Somebody needs to get baptized. Don't poke your neighbor. Let the Holy Spirit do his job. Then you guys went to, you learn who God is. How? Through reading his word. It's the written word of God. It's how you get to know him. You get to know his character. And one of the reasons I tell my church over and over again, we know it's real because it's full of stories of ridiculous people. If it was propaganda, it would be all happy ending, great people saying, yes, Lord. But it's full of crazy people like you and me trying to figure out how to follow God. And then you watch him work and tell the big story and we get to play a part. It's real. You get to learn who God is through his word. And then last week, you guys talked about talking to God. What's the church word for talking to God? Prayer. People are like, I don't know how to pray. Do you know how to talk? You know how to talk. Some of y'all are like, you know how to talk. You simply change directions. Instead of talking to the person near you, you talk to the God that's with you. That's prayer. Today, not just talking to God, what do we need to do? We need to hear God. So the big thought for today is that we can hear the voice of God. Let me say that again. We can hear the voice of God. That should encourage you this morning. Our first text this morning is going to be out of John chapter 10. I'm going to read 5 verses, and then we're going to talk through them, okay? John chapter 10, verses 1 through 5. I tell you the truth. This is Jesus talking. Anyone who sneaks over the wall of a sheepfold rather than going through the gate must surely be a thief and a robber. But the one who enters through the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him. The sheep recognize his voice and come to him. And he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. Verse 4. After he has gathered his own flock, he walks ahead of them and they follow him. Listen to this, because they know his voice. They won't follow a stranger. They will run from him because they don't know his voice. Big difference there. Verse 1. It says, anyone who comes over the wall of a sheepfold. What's a sheepfold? Would be an area where they kept sheep. This was an agricultural society. This was like 4-H on steroids. Everybody had to raise animals. Your whole income and livelihood was directly based on what grew out of the ground or the critters that ate it. Okay? And so we are urban, suburban type people in this area. And so we get disconnected from this type of society, but that's who Jesus was preaching to. And so he would use word pictures that people could identify with. And so they would have all been familiar with somebody, a shepherd, who would have kept track of sheep. And he's saying, anybody who sneaks on a wall. So the first point is, there is a thief. You guys need to know this. And the Bible describes the devil as the one who waits to lie, steal, kill, destroy. There's a verse in Genesis where it says he waits outside your tent to pounce on you. Have you ever felt like that? That's because it's real. There really is a thief that's out to steal from you. And we get some distinction of how we can tell that it's the thief. It says anyone who sneaks over the wall. Thieves are sneaky, right? How can I tell the difference if I'm hearing, you know, you grow up maybe watching the cartoons, you got the little devil on one shoulder, the little angel on one shoulder, and how can I tell the difference? The thief is sneaky. He's going to come in any which way. It's going to be manipulative. It's going to be coming in through the back door. It's going to be coming in sideways, which leads us to verse 2. There is a shepherd. The shepherd doesn't sneak around. They're his sheep. He comes through the gate. How can you tell the difference between God's voice and the thief's voice, the devil's voice? Jesus is going to come straight at you. It's going to be right in front of you. It's going to be laid out, and it's going to be invitational. It's not going to be coercive. It's not going to be manipulative. It's not going to be trickery. God's not going to trick you into doing anything. There's not going to be any deception. There's not going to be any false promises. You think of Adam and Eve. You think of every story of where things go wrong. And that's because there was this voice manipulating, false promises, casting doubt on the goodness of God. It's going to all be sneaky. The devil comes in over the fence. Jesus walks right through it. Verse 3, the sheep know his voice. We're going to talk more about this. And this needs to bless somebody in this room today. Maybe a few somebodies. He calls us by name. It's not some generic thing. It's not something, sometimes it's mind-blowing to think that God can love every person, the whole world, and yet at the same time be 100% personal with just you and me. But friends, we serve a God who calls you by your name. Man, that blesses me. And then it says, he leads us out. If you've ever played in a pool as a kid, you played a game called Marco Polo. And most of y'all cheated when you played it. And what was the game? Marco Polo. You're trying to find somebody just based on their voice. You're trying to recognize, you're trying to hear it, and then you're going towards that voice. That's what God wants for us. He wants us to know his voice. I can be pretty much anywhere, and I can pick out my kids' voices. I can pick out my wife's voice. And I can still pick out my mom and my dad's voice. Right? And you can be in a room full of kids, and all y'all moms, you know if your kid's the one crying. Right? Oh, that's mine. And then you act like you don't hear it. I'm so glad there's childcare here at Simple Church, because that's their problem. For an hour, hour and a half, I'm just going to sit right here. I hear them. Thank you, kids team. But you know those voices, right? And you know that if you call home, you call your mom or you call your dad, You don't have to say who you are. How weird would that be? Now, when they get real old, sometimes you got to remind them. If I don't say dad, it's Adam. No. He's got four kids. I don't need to tell him who it is. Right? He calls us by name. He leads us out. So verse 4 says, he walks ahead and leads us. That's how this thing is supposed to work. That's why you guys are going through this step by step. That step by step is following Jesus. And that's why you guys are learning how to do this, is so that Jesus can be right ahead of you and you're just going along with him. He leads, we follow. The sheep follow because, again, they know his voice. Verse 5, we touched on this. The sheep won't follow a stranger because they don't know his voice. That's the premise for today's message, is that we would know the voice of God, and that way we can hear it better, because we can hear the voice of God. So that leads us to a big question. How? Right? Now, us preachers, we got to come up with clever little things that rhyme and cute things, okay? So I'm very proud of this. We're going to talk about barriers and carriers, all right? I'm very proud of that. That's as good as it gets, okay? Barriers and carriers. What are we talking about? A barrier is something that keeps you from something, and a carrier is something that helps you connect with something, okay? This is good preaching, I promise. So what are some barriers to keep us from hearing the voice of God? And we got to start there, because if you have something blocking you from the voice, then it doesn't matter if you're tuned in for it. There's something keeping you from hearing it. And that is the case with the voice of God. And there's a couple big ones. What can keep us from hearing anything? What can keep us from hearing somebody else's voice? Block, things that block, or things that distract. When I was a kid, I don't know how many pairs I went through, but as a young boy, one of the things you want after a bicycle, after a couple other things, slingshot, BB gun, you got to have a set of walkie-talkies. Who played with a set of walkie-talkies as a kid? Come on. These modern kids are so spoiled, they just be like messing, texting each other. We had to work. We had to spend our $20 of birthday money at Radio Shack, and we had to buy these things, and then spend another $10 on 9-volt batteries. And then we had to hope that these things would connect, and you'd have those, and you'd press the button and talk over each other. But it didn't take you long to figure out that pretty much you were better yelling at each other, because as soon as anything was in between you and the person with the other walkie-talkie, you couldn't connect. There was something blocking you. Well, what can block the voice of God? Let's go to Isaiah 59, 1 through 3. The word's going to hurt our feelings right now. Is that okay? Okay. You said okay. Isaiah 59, verses 1 through 3. Listen, the Lord's arm is not too weak to save you, nor is his ear too deaf to hear your call. It's your sins that have cut you off from God. Because of your sins, he has turned away and will not listen anymore. Your hands are the hands of murderers, and your fingers are filthy with sin. Your lips are full of lies, and your mouth spews corruption. Well, that's not nice. I warned you. What can block the voice of God? Sin in our hearts. If you're stuck in unrepentant sin, how does this work? How does this work in the church? Because we say that we're sinners, we ask for salvation, that forgives us our sin, but we still got to deal with sin. Well, yeah. But as you're growing with the Lord and you know that you're supposed to change something and you don't change that, it's going to stay as a block between you and God. So that's something that can block. What about a distraction? Now, as I'm getting older, as I'm pushing towards 50, I'm so frustrated about that. Now, if I'm washing dishes, now I say that like I do it a lot. In fairness, Like if the water's running out of the faucet and I'm standing near that running water, I just about can't discern what people are saying a room away. You know, you learn, you just kind of lose some of that, right? So now there's a distraction. Something else that happens kind of every Saturday in the fall is if this team called the Ohio State Buckeyes are playing, I'm pretty much dead to the world. And I'm focused on what's happening on the TV, and I'm yelling at that. And you pretty much have to get right in front of me and make me hit pause. My wife's very patient with me if you want me to hear you during those couple hours. What am I talking, right? Amen, right? And a good wife respects that. I mean, it's just, that's not in the Bible. Not in the Bible. What are we talking about? We're talking about distractions. And so I know I'm just using all these old references, but we actually had to like tune dials on radios. We have to focus if we want to hear the voice of the Lord. We have to turn down some of the things around us if we want to hear the voice of God. So if you're not able to hear, start with the things that are barriers. Start with, God, is there something in me that's keeping you from connecting with me? And then look right around you. So there's something within you that could be, that'd be sin, or there's something around you which would be a distraction. Those are barriers, and it's just keeping you, it's competing noise. And if you haven't noticed, the world is full of competing noise. So those are the barriers. Let's talk about how do we deal with those barriers. If it's sin, repent. If it's something that you, he's really not going to give you something else until you obey the last thing. And so if you're like, man, I'm waiting to hear from God, but you haven't been baptized yet, get baptized. Clean your ears out. Obey him. And then he's going to give you the next thing. That's how this works. He leads you step by step. He's not going to give you 10 steps ahead. He's giving you the one to do right now. Repent, obey, focus. Those are the barriers, how to deal with those. Carriers, what connects us to God's voice? Number one, the still small voice. I want to go to a little quick story in Samuel. 1 Samuel. This is a neat little story. So the quick backstory is Samuel's parents weren't able to have kids, and his mom, Hannah, promises God, like, if you let me have a kid, I'm going to dedicate him to the Lord. And it was, she took this vow so seriously, literally at like age 5, she comes and drops him off at the temple, looks at the priest and says, he's yours. Now, moms, you can't do that. This is just and of how this thing worked. And so Samuel is very young. He's basically living in a room off the temple. The head priest's name was Eli. Let's go to 1 Samuel, and we're going to just catch up with the story, chapter 3, verses 7 through 9. Samuel did not yet know the Lord because he had never had a message from the Lord before. So the Lord called a third time, and once more Samuel got up and went to Eli. Here I am. Did you call me? Here's what's happening. Samuel kept sleeping, and in the night, he was hearing his voice being called. Just like you would hear from your mom or your dad or your spouse or your kids. Samuel. Well, he thought it was Eli calling for him. He comes running to Eli. Yes, 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 Eli. Oh, I didn't call you. Go back to bed. On the third time, Eli says, huh? He says this, then Eli realized it was the Lord who was calling the boy. So he said to Samuel, go and lie down. And if someone calls again, say, speak, Lord, your servant is listening. So Samuel went to bed and he hears God call again. And this is one of the best things we can ever say to God. Speak, your servant is listening. The still small voice. Here's some guidelines for what's the voice of the Lord. It's going to be loving. It's going to be consistent. It's going to be in line with his word. That's why you get to know who God is through his Bible, because when you hear something, you're going to know that it fits with what you've been reading, and you can say, that's the voice of the Lord. That's why we need to know his Bible, his word. Here's another thought I wrote, not selfish. I had met with a guy not too long ago, and he said, I feel like I'm supposed to be baptized. Well, I feel like I'm supposed to pray for that person. I feel like I'm supposed to go on this mission trip. Can I just tell you that's the voice of the Lord? Because that's not your selfish voice. That's not the voice of the thief. That's not your inner man. That's not the, because guess what my inner man says? Go find nachos as quick as possible. And if anything's in your way, push them out of the way and get to your food. Like, I am naturally a selfish person. And so when I hear a voice say, I think you need to be here. I think you need to talk to this person. I think that person needs prayer. I think this, that's not, I know that's not coming from me. And if it's not deceptive and it falls in line with the word of God, I can say, that's the Lord, right? Number one, still small voice. Number two, the living word of God. Romans 10, 17 says, so faith comes from hearing, that is hearing the good news about Christ. And some translations say the word of God. And the root word for that translated word, like God didn't, the Bible wasn't written in English. It was written primarily in Hebrew and Greek, first of all. That was the languages spoke by the people that received these words from the Lord. And the word, the root word there that from that word is a word called rhema. And so there's another word that rhema means a living word. It means something that's alive. And so here's what happens is when you read your Bible, you can read the same thing 5 times, 6 times, 7 times. And then you're going to come across that same set of verses. And all of a sudden, it's going to feel like something is just coming off the page. See, one of y'all moms will be like, I know that's mine, and I don't care. Isn't that great? And that mom's just like, it ain't mine. But the living word, have you ever read your Bible and it almost feels like the words jump off the page at you? That's a rhema word. That's a living word. That same text has been written on that Bible since you owned it. You could have even read through it another time, but today is the day God is making it come alive to you. That is the rhema word. And so not only are you learning who God is when you read your Bible, but there will be some times where you will read it and be like, oh my gosh, I need to do something. This is provoking me to action. This is calling me to do something. This is convicting me of something that's in my heart. That's a rhema word. Number one was still small voice. Number two, the living word of God, a rhema word. Number three, this is a big one for me, a sense of peace. A sense of peace. I'm going to read from Colossians 3:15 on this. I think. Here we go. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. Why does this matter? Because there are times when I've heard God even ask me to do crazy things or feel like I'm supposed to, something like planting a church. We were right in the same season as Simple Church. I think you guys just passed your 11th year. You're getting ready to. We just celebrated our 10th year. We're basically right after you guys were started. And you don't just, oh, I think I want to plant a church because that sounds fun. Let's just throw our finances in the air. Let's just throw our kids up and like let's just wreck our whole life. And see what happens. But can I tell you that when we started to take the steps towards where we felt like God was leading us, we had a peace about it, even though everything on the surface seemed like that shouldn't make sense to do? God's peace will come with his direction. And you can be in a scary place. You can be stretched beyond something that you are comfortable with. You could be feeling maybe some anxiety there with maybe what you're facing, but you have this peace inside that says, this is what I was supposed to be doing. And this is where, when you're married like I am, this is a big deal. We really trust this sense of peace when we're making decisions as a family. and we'll just say, either one of us be like, I really have a peace about this, and I want you, you know, you see what God's telling you, and then pretty much as soon as Danielle and I both have a peace, and actually I've just learned to kind of, she has better radar than I do, like she can hear God, it seems like days ahead of me on something. She's waiting for me to catch up. But honestly, just because of God putting us together, sometimes her peace with something is enough for something, for me to make a decision on something I'm a little uneasy about. Does that make sense? God's peace will follow his voice. Still small voice, rhema word, that living word. Three, a sense of peace. Have you ever heard about open and closed doors in the church? That's some churchy words there. And so let me explain what that means. Let me read to you from Revelation 3:7. It says, write this letter to the angel of the church in Philadelphia. And that's basically code for the lead pastor of this citywide area of Philadelphia, which would have been in the Middle East. And this is the message from the one who is holy and true. This is Jesus giving instructions to his church. The one who has the key of David, what he opens, no one can close. And what he closes, no one can open. And so I grew up in the church world. I'm thankful for that. But I grew up hearing about this open door and closed door kind of thing. And this is what this comes from, is that when God wants to make something happen, it's going to happen. We need to understand that. As Christians, we're not determining the will of God. We just get to make a decision whether or not we want to participate with it. God wants to reach people. He wants to see people saved. And churches like Simple Church and Family Church, we've chosen to just be a part of what God is already doing. He wants to do something, and he will open doors. And so when Jesus is leading you, and this can be very frustrating. I've been frustrated about this, where you think you know what the next step is, and then it feels like you are running into a brick wall. Is that just me? And it's like, God, but I'm supposed to do this. God, I'm supposed to come over here. God, I feel like I'm supposed to do that. And I have had to learn, I'm a little slow, that when that iron door comes down, it's one thing to have a little resistance that you got to get tough and get through, right? A little bit of challenging or something like that. I'm talking about where you have a closed door. God is usually trying to protect you, or he's trying to get you to focus and go a different direction. And he will close a door. And I can remember losing a job at a church I loved, and it felt awful to me. I felt like I was being rejected. I felt I could have looked at this 1,000 different ways, and I did, but I had to keep going down to Jesus and saying, God, what are you doing here? Why is this door closing? And it's because he wanted to change my direction. And then other doors started opening. And so here's the thing. When you run into that closed door or the open door, if it's open, you go through it. And sometimes you can be like, man, I don't know about that. But man, if that door's open, he's like, and we can be sitting there like, man, I wish I'd hear the voice of God. And God's like, the doors are wide open. Right? Like I said, sometimes we're not hearing him because he's waiting for us to take the last step he asked us to take. There could be an open door that God has just opened up for you, and he's saying, this is the next thing. So it can be go, it can be stop, and sometimes that closed door is just a wait. God's timing is not our timing. There's a song you all probably sing too where it says God, where he's never late. That sounds so good, but yet that still makes me so mad sometimes. Because I'm pretty sure I got it pretty figured out that if God would do this at this time, that would be better. Is that just me? Sometimes it's just a wait. And I've pushed myself into some things too early, and I've paid the price for it. And what Psalm 23 said, says sometimes he lets us rest and next to a still water. Sometimes we're just resting in a green pasture. And as this type A bulldozer mentality, I just want to go, 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 go. I got ground to take. I got a mandate on my life. I want to see people saved. I want to do, 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 do. And I run into that closed door and I'm just, God, can you get this door out of my way? And he's like, whoa. What's behind that next door you're not ready for? I need you to just rest in me right now. Right? And then I heard this from I don't know where I heard this, where I'm stealing it from, but I shared this with another person recently who is, he's a ordained pastor. He doesn't have his own church right now. He's just been kind of serving, and he's frustrated. And he's waiting for the next, like, assignment. And he kept kind of trying different things, and he was just real anxious about it. And God gave me a picture of just how, like, when you're going down a hallway and you're just trying doorknobs. Jiggle, 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 jiggle. Jiggle, 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 jiggle. Oh, man, I can't get that one. Oh, man. Jiggle, jiggle, jiggle. Now, that could be you in, like, a big restroom, and you're like, one of these doors better open. That was gross. I'm sorry. But could you imagine walking down a long hallway? Jiggle, jiggle. I'm trying to find a door that will open. Here's the word from the Lord for you today. You don't need to jiggle all the doorknobs. Tell your neighbor, don't jiggle. I can't help it, y'all. I got a little extra right here. And if I dance, I jiggle. That worship was so good. I apologize for the jiggle. But so many times in our life, we're so anxious and we're just yanking on doorknobs. I need to find what's next. I need to. That is not how God leads us. That is craziness. That is not peaceful. That is stressful. You might be in a season where God is just wanting you to wait and you just need to be still. What's the word say? Be still and know that I am God. He hasn't called us to run down the hallway and yank on every door. He's going to lead us. He's going to lead you. And when it's time to walk through a door, it's going to be open. Does that bless somebody in this place this morning? Still small voice. Living word of God. A sense of peace. Open and closed doors. Finally. Yeah, tell your neighbor, finally, he's wrapping up. That's mean, don't do that. John chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. The next day there was a wedding celebration in the village of Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mom was there, and Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the celebration. The wine supply ran out during the festivities, so Jesus' mother told him they have no more wine. Jesus says, "Dear woman," and this is actually a polite phrase. Doesn't sound that polite. Like if you tell your mom, "Dear woman," my mom used a wooden spoon. That might have brought it out. "Dear woman, that's not our problem," Jesus replied. "My time has not yet come." Only a mom can say they're out of something, and you know exactly what that means. I think the trash man's coming. What's that mean? Get the trash. Like, we know what that means. Jesus knew why she wasn't just commentating. I think they're out of wine. Jesus is like, man, mom. What's he do? This is famous. This is Jesus' first physical miracle that he does. He turns the water into wine. Why? Mama told him to. And he's a good boy. What are we talking about here? Number five is we hear the Lord's voice through other people. Now, I'm going to add an asterisk next to that. These need to be people that you know love you and want God's best for you. And these need to be people that love God more than their own agenda for you, okay? So you got to be careful when people are like, I think God wants you to do something or whatever else. Okay. Like driving along GPS and it's like, turn now, right? Like the commercial and it's like, there's a pond, there's a brick wall. The Lord told, but Siri told me. No, we got to be careful with this. But friends, I can tell you throughout my life living for Jesus, a high percentage has either been instigated the first time I've heard it came through another person, or most often it's been confirmed by other people. Is that your story out there? And what's really cool is when God's talking, you can often get confirmation from a couple people in your life. And I'll say something to this. If you've heard the voice of God and you've gotten confirmation through a couple sources, don't be just like, I'm going to need more confirmation. At some point, God's going to be like, when are you going to do what I've asked you to do? Right? Through other people, through your parents, through your friends, through your pastor. Just like Pastor Aaron, we go to a lot of trouble to make sure people connect to Jesus and not to us. And at the same time, God has called you to a local church. He's called you along with that to have a pastoral team that can only pastor you if you let them pastor you. I can say that I have this many people come to family church. It's a lot lower percent. It's a lot less number of people that actually let me speak into their lives. Right? Here's the thing. Still small voice, the rhema word, sense of peace, open and closed doors, through other people. If we will practice all five of these, probably one of them is going to be the most comfortable to you, and then at the other end, there's going to be one that is like, that's really difficult for me. That'd be the one to say, God, I'm going to keep reading your word. I want something to come alive. God, could you put a couple people in my life that I could trust enough that love me and love you to say, I'm feeling this. Could you pray about it and let me know what you think God is showing you? I guarantee you your pastoral staff will do that for you. I guarantee you that there's other people that are more seasoned in their walk with Jesus that would do that for you in this church. That's a healthy part. This is one of the reasons why you're supposed to be in a local church. It's so that we don't have to live this life alone. You can grow that way. If we will practice with all five of these, what's it going to do? It's going to confirm, because if you start feeling things and you get it from a couple sources, it's going to give you confidence. And after walking with Jesus now for about 30 years, I can hear him quicker and clearer as the years go by. Why? Because I know his word. And now when something jumps off the page, it's just, oh my goodness. I can pretty much read the Bible almost every time something new jumps out to me. It's not because I'm special. It's because I've spent time reading his word. I have surrounded myself with people that hear from God, that love me, love him, and they're going to keep me from getting into trouble, or they're going to help me know which way to go. Pastor Aaron's one of those people in my life, right? If we will practice these, we will get confirmation and confidence. Jesus leads, we follow because we know his voice. We can hear the voice of God. Can we bow our heads in prayer? Thank you, Jesus. Here's the thing. God wants to communicate. He is speaking. And so that means the barriers and the carriers are on our end. Across this room, what's keeping you from hearing the voice of God? Is there sin blocking it? Repent right now. Is that you? Respond to Jesus. Maybe it's a distraction. Maybe it's like that water running right next to you and you just can't differentiate what he's trying to say. There's something that's too noisy around you. Are you willing to turn the volume down on the things around you? Are you willing to look at that dial and dial it in? Are there distractions that are keeping you from hearing the voice of God? And then the carriers. If you haven't received a rhema word, a living word from the Bible, double down. Go after his word. Get a good Bible study. Get something through the Bible app or something that just leads you on a topic or something, and watch the word of God come alive. What about that still small voice? That one that's not selfish, that one that's always consistent, that one that leads you in something that lines up with the word of God. Are you going to say yes the next time you hear it? Are you going to stop jiggling doorknobs and wait if the door is closed, or walk through if the door is open? Are you going to find that person, even better, persons that loves Jesus and loves you, and you'll take them something that's on your heart and say, I need you to pray about this and see what God's showing you? And Lord, would you give us that peace to know that it's you talking? Finally, this morning, if you've never connected with Jesus, if you've never made him Lord and Savior, he wants you to know who he is, know what his voice sounds like. He wants to lead you, protect you, and live with you. Is today the day you would cross that line of faith and say, yes, I'm ready to follow Jesus. I'm ready to know his voice and follow where he leads me. Is that you this morning? Would you raise your hand? I want to pray with you. I see that hand. I see those hands. A simple prayer. See those hands. Thank you, Jesus. A simple prayer goes like this. God, I can't do it. God, would you forgive me for this sin that is blocking me from you? God, would you lead me? I thank you for loving me. God, I choose to hear your voice. I choose to know your voice. And I choose to follow you today.
Thanks for tuning into this week's episode. We hope it has given you hope and helped you know God a little bit more. The goal of this podcast is to reach beyond our walls and connect with people far from God. If you'd like to join us in doing that, there are several ways for you to get involved. First, you can pray for us as a church. Prayer is our first response and our greatest resource. Pray for opportunities that we can boldly step into, make a difference in our community and around the world as we proclaim the good news of Jesus. Second, share this episode on your social media accounts and directly with your friends. It's easy to do through whatever platform you're currently using to listen to this message. Just click share and follow the prompts. Finally, you can support the mission through your generosity. The best part about this is that it's also an act of worship, where you express the priority of your love for God and others through your finances. Links to give are in the show notes, or simply visit www.mysimple.church/giving. We are so thankful you joined us today and hope you'll consider joining the mission of our church in some way. Thank you again, and we'll see you at next week's episode.